WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. We're going to talk about education and the Obama speech last night. If you missed it, wait till you hear the clips we're about to play that haven't been in most of the headlines this morning. Then we're going to talk to political comedian Margaret Cho, who is back on television. She's got a new series. She's really fun and interesting. And then we'll continue our brown bag lunch series at the end of the hour, a way for you to save money and have good eats at the same time. But I do have to remind you that we are in our winter membership drive. I'm just going to do this for like 30 seconds. But 54 minutes to go to get your pledge in or just get your entry in to win the MacBook Pro, Apple's newest laptop. We thank TechServe for giving us a couple of these to give away this drive. And this is the final one. And you have to be entered by noon in order to be eligible. You are eligible for the MacBook Pro, Apple's newest laptop, if you pledge during the buyback campaign, if you're a sustaining member, if you pledge during the drive, all of that. But the deadline is noon. So get your pledges in right now. Support the station for all the right reasons. And you might as well be entered to win Apple's newest laptop, the MacBook Pro, while you're doing it. So do it now. 1-888-376-WNYC. 1-888-376-9692 or pledge online at WNYC.org. We thank you all so much. And one of the most daring parts, I thought, of President Obama's speech last night was the section on education.
We have one of the highest high school dropout rates of any industrialized nation, and half of the students who begin college never finish. This is a prescription for economic decline. Because we know the countries that outteach us today will outcompete us tomorrow. And that is why it will be the goal of this administration to ensure that every child has access to a complete and competitive education from the day they are born to the day they begin a career. That is a promise we have to make to the children of America.
Now, remember, the substantive theme of last night's speech was that energy reform, health care reform, and education reform would be the keys to our long-term economic health. And in true Obama style, he called for social responsibility and personal responsibility to achieve our education goals.
And dropping out of high school is no longer an option. It's not just quitting on yourself, it's quitting on your country. And this country needs and values the talents of every American. That's why we will provide the support necessary for all young Americans to complete college and meet a new goal. By 2020, America will once again have the highest proportion of college graduates in the world.
It's quitting on yourself. It's quitting on your country. Wow. So let's take a closer look at perhaps the most important and definitely the most under-discussed portion of the president's speech last night, his education agenda. With me for this is Michael Dannenberg, senior fellow at the New America Foundation, the founder of the Higher Ed Watch blog, and a former senior aide to Senator Edward Kennedy. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. Good to be here.
I don't think I've ever heard a president make the high school dropout rate and the idea of at least a year of college a centerpiece of a State of the Union address or the equivalent, which this was.
I think it's particularly impressive given this time of economic crisis and tying the two together, not just education in and of itself as a value, but linking that to the economy, both as a symbol of decline and symptomatic of the decline in the economy, where we are in the state of our schools. The other big and I thought important sort of thematic element was tying together the entire education pipeline. The president spoke about education from cradle to career, and in particular paid a lot of attention to the high school dropout issue and the college graduation issue, which are inextricably linked. People don't realize how important high school preparation is to college degree attainment.
How bad is the dropout problem in the United States?
Well, by any measure, it's terrible. OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperative Development, says that our dropout rate is approximately 25%. The states for years have used different measures, but we rank below nations like Poland and Slovakia and so forth when it comes to the dropout rate. But I think what's important to keep in mind about the dropout rate is that it's really a very isolated problem. And this is why it's a problem that can be fixed. There are about 18,000 high schools in America. About 2,000 of those high schools account for over 50% of the nation's dropouts. These are dropout factories. They are responsible for 2/3 of the Hispanic students who drop out, almost 3/4 of the African-American students who drop out.
Do we have a lot of those factories here in the New York area?
They tend to be isolated in urban school districts in particular, as you would expect. So we do have them here, and I think there will be a serious amount of attention at the federal level, but also at the local level on high schools and these, in particular, dropout factories, many of which, frankly, need to be shut down because they have been persistently failing for so long, and they need to be reopened as new schools, as charter schools, and broken up. One of the biggest influences on student achievement isn't just family income or even parent involvement, which the president spoke about. It's peer influence. And a lot of these dropout factory schools have a culture of failure, a culture where it's acceptable to quit school. These are schools where, I mentioned the dropout rate nationally was 25%. One third of all schools, the dropout rate is less than 10%. In these dropout factories, the dropout rate is in excess of 40%. So it is a culture of the institution that needs to be changed, and it's relatively isolated instance.
So in that light, what did you think of his appeal to personal responsibility as an aspect of this when he said that line about if you drop out of school, you're quitting on yourself and you're quitting on your country? That takes the focus off the failures of institutions.
Yeah. To me, as an education expert, that was the most striking line in the entire speech, because I'm familiar with the policy and I know where he's going on policy. But what was most striking about that was the uniform and loud applause that followed. There is a view that in this speech, the president wasn't just being serious about the economic crisis, optimistic about the future, but also sort of ambitious. This was, to my mind, an echo of ask not what you can do for your country, that particular line of speech. And I think he's right. There is an element of personal responsibility as well as institutional responsibility when it comes to academic achievement. Too often we look at only one side of the ledger.
And presidents don't usually have the ear of high school students, probably high school students on the verge of dropping out less than anyone. But do you think after the Obama campaign, which generated so much enthusiasm among young Americans of all kinds, that last night might actually have been different when he spoke on TV?
I hope so. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, who is the former superintendent of schools in the District of Chicago, said at his confirmation hearing that President Obama had made education cool again in the campaign. I think there's some truth to that. We are sort of at a unique moment in history, not just because culturally the president has made education cool, but there's going to be and has already been a massive increase in investment in education from the federal level. Now, almost 1 in 6 stimulus dollars went to education. And as you heard last night, education is going to be one of the 3 emphases in the coming budget. So you're right. It's a huge story, and it's an underreported story. I'm glad you're paying a lot of attention to it.
Michael Vandenberg with us, senior fellow, New America Foundation, founder of the Higher Ed Watch blog, and former senior aide to Senator Edward Kennedy. And we're going to get to Kennedy and what's become of No Child Left Behind in a minute. But you can put on your Higher Ed Watch blogger hat.
Sure.
And listen to this one additional clip of the president last night, because he went beyond high school.
So tonight I ask every American to commit to at least 1 year or more of higher education or career training. This can be a community college or a 4-year school, vocational training or an apprenticeship. But whatever the training may be, every American will need to get more than a high school diploma.
He's absolutely right. The president laid out an ambitious goal of leading the world when it comes to the percentage of college graduates and urging all adults, really, to get at least 1 year of post-secondary education. But it's not an unrealistic goal. It's an ambitious goal, but not unrealistic. There's a great amount of financial aid that's now provided. The maximum Pell Grant for 7 million students is $5,000. The average Pell Grant is $2,500. A community college, on average nationally, tuition and fees at a community college is around $2,600. So there is a great deal of financial aid that's available, and the costs of public institutions of higher education are relatively low. Private institutions of higher education, the costs can be astronomical. And too often people think about the costs of private higher education, the elite schools, and don't consider the relatively affordable opportunities available in the public system.
From our comments page, Jane writes, in England, you can leave school at 16 and have qualifications to pursue a solid job. Germany offers a wide palette of options for students who may not be super academically inclined. To work in a department store in Germany, you have to study for 3 years. I don't know if that's true, but we always hear about vocational training at the high school level better in other industrialized countries than the United States. Is that a key here?
It is. And one of the things that it's also key, by the way, to dealing with the dropout issue, because a lot of those vocational programs and, frankly, after school programs as well, help keep kids in school. One of the things they do in other nations, which we're increasingly seeing here, is they blend vocational education and academic training. And I think this is the right way to go, because most Americans, particularly young Americans, are going to change jobs, change careers multiple times over the course of their career. Working lives. And so they need not only specific vocational skills, but also academic skills, which transcend a particular vocation that they may be trained
for. If we take the president literally, what does 1 year of college get you in today's world that a high school diploma doesn't?
Not enough. I think really the proper goal is a degree, a college degree. That's where there's a big marked jump when it comes to earnings. Frankly, the biggest jump in earnings is the difference in earnings over a career is between those who are high school graduates and those who are, have a post-secondary four-year degree. The other big jump is those who are high school graduates and those who are high school dropouts. Some college isn't really enough. What you need is a degree.
We have 1 minute left. Senator Kennedy, who used to work for, worked with President Bush to get the No Child, the much maligned No Child Left Behind Act passed. So maligned that the Edgewonk blog is now sponsoring a Rename the Law contest. It has such a bad image, and they've been getting a lot of snarky ones like the Mental Asset Recovery Plan or the Act to Help Children Read Gooder, according to an article about that in the Times. Is it salvageable?
It certainly is salvageable. I sort of disagree with the premise that it's in such terrible shape that it needs to be salvaged. There are problems with
images. People on the right don't like it. People on the left don't like it.
Well, that's certainly correct. You know, George Miller, the chairman of the House Education Committee and Senator Kennedy's counterpart in the House of Representatives, calls it the most tainted brand in America. And I think there's some truth to that. And personally, I wouldn't have a problem with a new name. But the goals of the No Child Left Behind Act remain solid, and there remains broad consensus in the education community behind them. All students should learn to higher standards. We should have assessments that diagnose the needs of students, that adults in the system should be held accountable for student performance. Frankly, my own view is that students in the system should be held accountable for student performance as well. But the underlying principle
seems to be the president's view as well.
That's correct. The underlying principle is that all students can learn to high standards and that accountability in education gets results. We've business as usual, or pre-No Child Left Behind, is unacceptable. The academic achievement is at international lows. The high school dropout rate is atrocious.
Michael Dannenberg, senior fellow at the New America Foundation, founder of the Higher Ed Watch blog, and former senior aide to Senator Edward Kennedy. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Margaret Cho next. Stay with us.